This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Russia attacks the Ukraine. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. We've been talking about it now for 6, 7, probably 8 weeks as the maneuvers started so long ago. Now it is official. Oil has hit $100 and climbing. U.S. stock futures have slid after Vladimir Putin announced the military op was on. Blasts have been heard in multiple cities. As again, Russia has attacked the Ukraine. Our president is promising the U.S. and allies will impose further consequences on Russia. But once again, when asked about troops, officially troops being part of this is not part of our equation other than in aiding NATO, so there is some of that. As I said, you can't completely ignore the fact that you'll have bodies involved with NATO. So the U.S. and others planning on Thursday to trigger the full scale of the sanctions that have been discussed over the last couple of weeks in response to what they knew was an inevitable attack. And one of the things that Biden said is Russia alone is responsible for the death and destruction of this attack that it will bring, and the United States and its allies and partners are going to respond in a swift and decisive way. The world will hold Russia accountable. All that Russian President Vladimir Putin announced was a special military operation, and he called for Ukraine's demilitarization in televised remarks before everything unfolded. So an early assessment is this, that there have been explosions near two big areas, the capital city and Odessa, and most of that was likely missiles in the eastern Ukraine near the border. Artillery was heard. Biden, by the way, also jumped in after some of that was reported and said he planned to speak to his G7 counterparts and would give a speech to the American people on Thursday. And what those further consequences are, we will know in this speech on Thursday. So there were discussions that went on diplomacy-wise through the night on Wednesday evening, but eventually, you know, this was happening and unfolding, and it was the thing that was going to happen, and we knew it. We knew the trigger was set, and it was going to be pulled. So now it's a question of what is the reaction to this. There are a lot of Ukrainian people who live in the United States who have family in the Ukraine, and they are justifiably freaked out and upset by what's gone on. There were people that scrambled to get out of the Ukraine, and this is a nightmare of, who knows, epic proportions and very sad. I've mentioned on the show many, many reasons why the Ukraine is so special and important, and an important piece of land, the people, what is underneath that land, and why it is so valuable to the world, but why it is also so desirable to Vladimir Putin. So the deadly toll on civilians is likely going to be thousands of people will probably die. Innocent people will probably die in the middle of this, who couldn't get out of the Ukraine, who had no way out, didn't have the resources for it, because this is where the aim is taking place at this point. So unleashing the military assault, you know, is it unjustified? Yes, it's unjustified. How long does this last? What are some of the details? All of this just, again, unfolding. This is a crisis in the Ukraine that had been building up for quite some time. And the key thing is just these three words: Russia attacks Ukraine. That's what has happened. And there are some people that are going to lose family members that are so close to them that could not get relief, that could not get out of harm's way. It is a very big country. The line of control is about, from what I've been told, a 260-mile divide in eastern Ukraine, separating areas held by Russian-backed separatists from territory controlled by the Ukrainian government forces. When Russia invaded the Ukraine in 2014 and annexed the Crimea Peninsula, separatists said, "This is the People's Republic," and that's been called the breakaway republics in the east. Fighting in the area, and that area has claimed 14,000 lives. People forget that since 2014. Moscow has recognized the separatists' territorial claims beyond that current line of control that I mentioned. And, of course, that raises fears that Putin intends a much bigger invasion, a large-scale invasion. That's why shelling is just what they hear constantly in the eastern part of the Ukraine. You know what shelling is. It's the shooting of a projectile. It has an explosive or chemical filling and is usually fired by artillery. So the Ukrainian military says separatists fire mortar and grenade launchers along the front constantly. So in the east, they have heard this. They've seen it. We had artillery shells that were reported that hit a kindergarten there last week. No kids were in it, luckily. But if they had been, they would all be dead, based on what I saw, or at least maimed, of what happened in this shelling. Wow. So what was definitely going to happen, happened. Diplomacy did not work ahead of time. So now at this point, it's about what happens to the people there. The first shipment of assistance directed by President Biden to the Ukraine arrived in the Ukraine tonight. So that shipment includes 200,000 pounds of lethal aid. That's what it's called. It includes ammunition for the frontline defenders of the Ukraine. Giant pallets of it. Giant pallets of that lethal aid. Also, an additional $200 million in military aid provided by our country in late December is all part of this. And that includes even more ammunition for the Ukrainian troops on the front line. So now it's about what's going to be even more specifically perhaps announced on Thursday, the targeted sanctions that are meant to minimize the suffering of civilians. So what does that mean? Assets frozen, arms embargoes, trade restrictions, that all will probably be part of the mix. We already know there's been the freezing of assets of two state-owned banks. European leaders have also pursued targeted sanctions against Russia. So that's all also going to be part of this. And then it's the reaction of NATO. And, of course, the Ukraine government wanted to be part of NATO, and that's exactly what Vladimir Putin didn't want. Russia sees NATO's expansion as a threat, and they have demanded that the Ukraine be prevented from ever joining the alliance. He definitely wants the Ukraine under Russian control. Stay with us.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. TCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
For the presidential race 2024, at least online. You're not surprised by that, right? Let's first talk about the trucks, because this isn't in virtual reality. This is actually happening. So the truck is the People's Convoy. We've talked about it. The People's Convoy started in California, and it's an 11-day cross-country drive to D.C. to protest COVID mandates, and it's was really fueled by so many donations, and then what happened in Canada, of course, clicked in the idea. There's at least $500,000 that was raised in money that was needed to make this happen. So the People's Convoy has called on the federal government to end the national emergency enacted at the start of the pandemic, which the president extended on Friday. Congress did call to end it, but the president didn't want to do that. So this is part of what that's about. It's everything related to COVID-19 and the restrictions, mandates, that kind of stuff, which are different depending on where you live. So they already set off. That happened midday Pacific Wednesday, and there's going to be a couple stops across the nation, and then hitting the Beltway on March 5th. Now, this convoy is saying, at least the organizers are, they don't want to disrupt roads or bridges. That's what happened in Canada, the Canadian Freedom Convoy. That's what that protest did. But they're saying they're not going to do that. They are swearing to disrupt traffic in the capital, however. So you've got the mayor, Muriel Bowser, and the U.S. Capitol Police. They're requesting the National Guard. And you have other D.C. leaders who are saying, yeah, let's get that increased police presence in the city and reinstall the fencing that surrounded the Capitol. That's perhaps something else that's just being pushed too as well. President Biden again extended the emergency. It was going to expire next week. He did so after arguing that the pandemic continues to cause significant risks to the public health and the safety of the nation. So then it was, the trucks are pulling out. We are not stopping. We are pulling out. So you got other convoys that are going to meet there. There's about 25 semis, supposedly, from Pennsylvania. They started their route, too, and they're going to get down there. And there may be some other trucks that also mix in from other parts of the country. But it is a pretty big convoy that they're headed. They're headed, you know, across the roadways. And the trailers, there's other trailers that are joining, like I said, in other parts of the country that they're hoping to gain even more steam as they continue into Washington. So you think about all the different truckers there are across the nation and how many people could actually jump into this. I was looking at what some of the stops would be, you know, going through Kingman, Arizona, and going through New Mexico, I-40, right, going through Glen Rio, Texas, actually, through I-40, through New Mexico, that whole area. And then from Glen Rio to Elk City, Oklahoma, to ultimately Sullivan, Missouri to Indianapolis. Well, you get the idea. Indianapolis to Cambridge, Ohio, Cambridge, Ohio to Hagerstown, Maryland, and then it would end March 5th. Well, that's where they would be, near the Beltway. That's 64 miles in that D.C. area, and they will clog up traffic. There is no question about it. That area is already jammed with problems with traffic, and that's what will happen when they get there. And the cavalcade is on the way, as the organizer said, that it's about freedom and unity, they're saying, and the truckers are unified. One of the things was interesting because they said this, and I talked about this before, they've said this a couple of times, and I know some truckers are listening because they've reached out to me, but you've got people of all types that are part of this. So Christians, Muslims, Jews, Mormons, agnostics, blacks, Hispanics, Asians, Native Americans, Republicans, Democrats. That everybody was invited, and they're absolutely every color of the rainbow that you could think of are part of this deal. People with rigs who are part of the protests, who don't want to put up with what's happening and feel like there needs to be, that the freedoms are being challenged, and they say that's what the People's Convoy is all about, that it's strictly about that, and that the word was sent through trucker channels, which there are many, and as you can imagine, and of course, watching what happened in O'Canada. But it was a little bit different because there you were clogging up some major arteries, bridges, that affected jobs in the United States at some of the auto plants. So the 2024 presidential race is definitely up and going. You look at it online because it's about fundraising, right? If you're about to play or put your toe in the pool or whatever, you got to be doing it. I've talked about that before. This is a different kind of world that we live in the last two decades, of what it costs to run, the backing that you need with human capital and the do-re-mi. So you got about a half a dozen potential Republican candidates, most of whom probably don't even make it on the ballot in 2022, because, you know, midterms, too. They spent $1.4 million each on email list rentals, digital consulting, online fundraising in 2021, because you have to release campaign finance disclosure, so that's where all that info comes from. You know, sometimes you have to build an online base from scratch. Sometimes you expand an existing program that you have. It's about fundraising and getting out there, you know, behind the scenes and in front, et cetera. So here's an example. I saw this in Politico. Senator Ted Cruz, whose campaign committee spent, you ready for this, $13.6 million in 2021. That's more than almost every senator running for re-election in 2022, even though Cruz's seat isn't up for two more years. And then you have others like, You've got others like Josh Haley. His campaign spent $1.7 million online last year. And so, and then $3.3 million also of Cruz's, of that 13.6, went to digital services. So with Haley, 1.7, that was online for him last year, just to give you an idea of what that costs. And online is where a lot of that fundraising and awareness starts, right? If you look at President Donald Trump, the Save America political operation spent $6.4 million digitally in 2021, $2.8 million on ads. So if you're running for president, you already are building that campaign behind the scenes, and you have to have a big database of supporters, because you can't just launch your campaign and all of a sudden build an online donor base. It's too difficult to make that happen. You got to start building those PACs, and you have to have the people around you who know how to do that, to do what they need to do digitally. So it is going on right now. There is some of that happening. Even with the current president, that's always going on with digital presence, you know, et cetera. So, you know, even if you look back at Senate races, if you look at Elizabeth Warren and Kirsten Gillibrand, they raised $10 million online while running in, again, non-competitive Senate races in 2018. So you have to have that presence, even if you don't have competition. Isn't that interesting? And you raise money online, grassroots-wise, and then it shows the strength of the candidate. So this is happening now. With Donald Trump, there's so much earned media. Like, of course, what happened when he ran for president, he had so much of that free media, free coverage, all of that, because he was a known entity and he was different from everybody else. And that led to, okay, we have to have a big war chest, and he does. But there was also so much of that earned media, I think, that made a very, very, very big difference. One thing's for sure, you don't have to worry about what happens with people checking online, because we're on our bloody phones all the time, right? So these things are going to pop up. You're going to see it. There's no doubt about it. If they're spending millions on ads, they're going to pop up. Coming up next, we're talking about cybersecurity with Matthew Gorge. He is the guru in my mind. Next.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
Ukraine has issued a warning to its citizens in Russia.
Ukraine's Ministry of Foreign Affairs is warning its citizens across the border in Russia to depart immediately Wednesday, as uncertainty surrounds Russia's next military move. The United States, United Kingdom, Canada, Japan, Australia, Germany, and 14 other countries were among nations that announced sanctions against Russia, as Moscow appears poised for a full destruction of Ukraine's democracy. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Federal health officials and medical experts are mulling the potential need for a fourth COVID-19 vaccine, but many don't agree whether another booster is needed or will be effective. A senior Biden administration official tells Axios that the federal government is planning to test new vaccines combining multiple COVID strains to determine what will offer the broadest coverage against future strains. This is USA Radio News. A new survey takes a look at the best U.S. cities to work and live in.
Goodhire says Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Reno, Nevada, and Provo, Utah rank as the top three most affordable cities. On the other end of the spectrum, Los Angeles, Hartford, Connecticut, and Corpus Christi, Texas top the least affordable list. The study factored in available job opportunities, housing prices, and earning potential when compiling the rankings. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau removed emergency powers on Wednesday.
After careful consideration, we're ready to confirm the situation is no longer an emergency.
Trudeau invoked those powers so police could end blockades occupied by people opposed to the country's COVID-19 restrictions. It also allowed police to freeze truckers' personal and corporate bank accounts and compel tow truck companies to haul away vehicles. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
No better time to talk to Matthew Gorge, our friend, than now. He is the founder and CEO of Vigi Trust. He is the author of the book, The Cyber Elephant in the Boardroom, and he's got these brilliant 5 pillars of security framework, cyber accountability, and he and I have talked about that a lot. Never more a better time to talk to him because of so many things that have been happening in the world, and how secure are you and how secure is your company. Hey, Matthew, thanks so much for coming on.
Hi, how are you? Very nice to be here again. Thank you for the opportunity.
And thanks for joining us from Dublin, which is where one of your offices is.
That's correct, yeah. Dublin, New York, and Paris, but today it's Dublin.
And you actually, with all the, I mean, Vigitrust, congratulations on this. It's been like 20 years. How many countries are you in? I think it's like 120, right?
Yeah, so we've got users in 120 countries. We've just entered our 20th year. As you can imagine, over the last 20 years, things have changed dramatically. Like 20 years ago, it was all about protecting the networks. Then it went into network security, content security, data protection, privacy. And today we have like cloud applications, remote working at post-pandemic. And of course, we've got ransomware, which is rampant. And so the risk surface has changed dramatically, and the attack vectors have increased. And so, you know, as a CISO, it's a lonely job because you need to get it right all the time, whereas the attackers only need to get it right once.
Yeah, and speaking of attackers, something that has been talked about, especially the last couple of days, is what's been happening with Russia and the Ukraine and, of course, NATO and et cetera. It's not about the politics. We could leave that aside for a second, but it's about perhaps cyber attacks, because that's been suggested that you might see more of that emanating out of Russia, but very tough to track that, right?
It's extremely tough to track, you know, and even if a nation state, be it Russia or another country, claims responsibility for an attack, there's no 100% way of being able to demonstrate that it was them. And even if there is, from a political perspective, it's a very delicate thing to do. Even when you look at generic attacks and you try to find the perpetrators, if you're finding the origin of the attack in a different nation, it's going to take a while before you can actually get the police forces to get the right information locally in order to get them. So what's happening right now is that kind of, if you look back years ago, maybe decades ago when there was a war, you were only doing the war on three domains, right? So it was land, air, and water. And today it's also cyber. But unlike land and air and in water, it's very hard to define where that cyber surface stops and where it might end from an attack perspective. What we do know, however, and that's 100% sure, is that as a nation state, if you wanna have a very effective attack, you would want to do a two-pronged attack. So you would do a physical attack with a cyber attack. Whether you do the cyber attack just before the physical attack or after really depends, and you might do both. So you might use a cyber attack to weaken the critical infrastructure of a country, especially access to communications, access to defense forces, access to water, access to health services. You weaken that before you launch the physical attack, and as people are scrambling to essentially respond, the first responders, they don't have access to all the data and all the tools that they normally would have. Or you do it the other way around. And so, those cyber attacks and that attack surface, it's being monitored on a continuous basis by the attackers. They're trying to find your vulnerabilities way ahead of the physical attack.
Wow. All right, we'll see what happens, but definitely time to watch for that happening in all different aspects of our lives, including what happens when you have a smart house. You know, we're talking about smart homes, and what happens with what you've got digitally going on. How vulnerable are you there? Because I think people don't really think about it, but now they're starting to see that that's happening.
Well, absolutely. The same way as I was talking about the nation's critical infrastructure, where everything is connected, today in your house, everything is connected. So whereas 5 years ago, you would have had maybe five devices per family that would be connected, today you might have 40, 50 different devices, and some devices that you forgot you connected to your home network. So your own risk surface has increased dramatically as well. But because you're not necessarily a security expert or you're a very trusting person, you're kind of thinking about the advantages, the features that those connected objects give you, as opposed to thinking about how is that impacting my life. And so one of the things that, you know, listeners should think about is that the attacks are becoming much more personal. So if we attack, say, Colonial Pipeline, or if we attack a food provider, like was the case in the U.S. last year, or we attack the health service executive in Ireland, it sounds like it's a group of hackers hacking a government or hacking a big company. But the reality is slightly different, because they're hacking those enterprises, so to speak, or those networks. And that directly impacts on your ability as a person to get access to health services, to banking, to food, to energy. And so you wake up one morning, there's no electricity, there's no water, you're sick, and there's no emergency services. So what we need to understand as a people is that we need to work together to protect our own infrastructure at home. So I often talk about protecting your own personal critical infrastructure. Right. So your personal infrastructure is like your connected door, your connected car, your connected kettle, your connected fridge, your connected systems that may even send an automatic order when you run out of certain items at home. And so you need to protect all of that because you're at risk as well. The good news is that it's not really rocket science to protect it.
Right. And so how do you do that? I mean, obviously passwords is one thing. I think sometimes people make easy passwords or they get stuck on that. And then that's an easy thing to crack.
Yeah, I mean, too often we see that passwords are actually passwords, or password one, password two, or it's your date of birth, or it's your pet's name, or whatever. I think that the you know, multi-factor authentication is something that's freely available for most good applications, and so you should use it. And also you need to look at the systems that you plug in, and generally speaking, when you go into settings, you'll find a security tab, and you can actually turn off all the services that you don't need. Even on an iPhone, there's a lot of services that are turned on by default, and it's because they want you to use applications, but you may not need all of this. Why leave a door open when you don't need it open? Because eventually it's going to slam, or there's going to be a draft coming into your house. Well, it's the same analogy, you know, for your critical infrastructure. And the other thing you can do is you can use managed service providers for personal infrastructure. There's a good few of them at the moment, especially in the US. They cost a few dollars per month, and they manage all of that security. And if there's something wrong, they send you an alert, and you can decide what you want to do.
Right. That's a great suggestion. And, you know, we're only a couple of months into 2022. What else do you fear, or what do you see as you look at this year and then even bouncing out into the end of the year and into next year as what's so critical when it comes to cybersecurity?
So I think that we're going to see a lot more ransomware this year. Because unfortunately, whilst the ransomware software itself is not necessarily very advanced, or even when it's advanced, it only gets in because we as humans make mistakes. So we click on the wrong phishing email. We're seeing a huge increase in the last couple of months in SMS, so phone-based, message-based attacks. And they're very easy to spoof and very hard for Joe Public to see them. I do think we're going to see a lot more attacks on major infrastructure, primarily in health, so health systems, hospitals, and in transportation, disruption to major airports and that type of stuff. But I also think that we're going to see attacks on C-level people and the board. And we're seeing it every year. We're seeing it going up. And whilst every year we're seeing more and more boards getting the right education level around cyber accountability, it's still increasing. And so I think we really need to have our key decision makers, and especially in mission critical enterprises, to understand their responsibility towards their consumers and towards the general public. And that goes as well for semi-state and organizations, government organizations that are providing services to the public. I mean, certainly anybody that's taking credit card payments for parking enforcement, or, you know, for a license plate or whatever, that should be by default PCI compliant. And if it's not, there should be an alert that goes up, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Matthew George, always great to talk to you again. His book, you can get it. It's wonderful. The Cyber Elephant in the Boardroom. He is the founder of VigiTrust. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kate. Thank you. Appreciate it.
The The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
We've got John Owens with us. He's written a book called Pursuit, and Pursuit is about this interesting detective, Lou Decker, and what happens to him, and he's going to take us on that journey here in a second. So he goes from ER physician, John does, to writing this novel. John, thanks for coming on the show. And, you know, you're an ER physician. And did you always in the back of your head think, you know, I want to write. I have a book in mind.
Well, I did. It wasn't specifically this book, but I've always enjoyed writing. I wrote, I was on newspaper staff in both high school and college. And then I wrote articles for local sports journals as an adult when I was practicing in the ER. And I've known for years that I wanted to give it a try, but I never had this specific idea until I got near retirement.
And how did you come up with this idea? How did this all germinate?
Well, it percolated around in my head from about 1995 on. I had listened to a broadcast by somebody called the Bible Answer Man, who was talking about a counterfeit revival in the church. And he made the point that there were a lot of ministries that were kind of preying on people's emotions rather than dealing with their spiritual needs. And that's where it kind of started.
So talk about this, because
Let's find out more about the book, because in the book, and I can see where this is going, you know, you talk about a religious cult, and you talk about the disappearance of Lou Decker's sister and how challenging that is. So tell us more about Pursuit.
Well, the book is primarily, it's a redemption story, and it focuses on a detective who's been suspended from work for kind of questionable practices. He was involved in apprehending a child killer and molester, and he did some things that got him suspended while they were investigating his activities. And his wife had died about a year ago, and he was falling into alcoholism as well. So it was a pretty down time in his life when he got a call from his brother-in-law who said that his sister was missing. And Lou wasn't real fond of the brother-in-law, but decided, since it was his sister and his only living relative, to give him a listen. And he went over and they discussed the issue, and Lou decided while he was off work to make some inquiries. And as he did, he met people who were involved with the church cult where she had gotten affiliated that he found troublesome. And in fact, they were doing things that were spiritually unusual and bordering on evil. So he decided to pursue this investigation, and Herb, the brother-in-law, got information that he made the jump that his wife was in Minnesota. So they went from Grand Rapids, Michigan, to try to find his wife. And during this time, he ran afoul of a couple of the hoodlums that worked for this church, and he wound up getting murdered. Lou figured this out, and he went there, and he found that Herb had been killed. And in the course of his inquiry, he found that his sister had been taken captive by this cult, and they were going to human traffic her. So he winds up confronting these two hoodlums and one of the other entities that works for the church, the bad church that was affiliated and supposedly under the control of the preacher who was running this part of the organization, was a supernatural being, a demon, and he had the ability to transform into a dragon. And Lou wound up confronting him, and this man who was manifesting this basically chased him to the edge of Lake Superior, and Lou jumped in rather than getting burned alive by this monster. And when he went into the water, he hit with force and wound up being knocked out, and was rescued by a woman and her uncle who had adopted her, and they wound up taking him to a hospital. And he recovered slowly, and they were owners of a church camp, and they fell into a relationship and wound up getting close. And her brother was a former military remote viewer, and he and Lou became fast friends and wound up investigating further. And the sister was eventually recovered by a kind of from Las Vegas by the police department there, and sent back to Minneapolis. And there were some other escapades, dangerous situations along the way.
Right,
it all
right.
Culminates at the end with a confrontation between everybody.
And again, the book is called Pursuit. What do you hope people take away from reading your novel?
Well, I think it's a redemption story that nobody's beyond redemption. And that's kind of the protagonist. He had a rough time. And there are supernatural actions and characters in the world today, even though they may not be evident to us all the time or manifest themselves in this way. But yeah, it's my belief that these kind of people and events could occur, even if we don't see them.
Right. Wow. Okay. You can get this book, Pursuit, on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. John Owens, thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. Speaking of Pursuit, a couple of closing thoughts here for this first hour. Russia has invaded the Ukraine, and it's that kind of war where the neighbor next door is the neighbor that you're invading, a voluntary war of aggression. And you think of that, and if I am Taiwan, I am watching this and looking at what's happening with the Chinese in regards to what they're doing with Taiwan, and the fact that I would have to think Russia felt emboldened, obviously, because the Western powers didn't really respond to Russia. And the same thing will happen with Taiwan, and it's already happening. We live in a much different world now where countries make decisions based on what military powers allow them to do. This is much different than in the past. So think about the Russian takeover of the Ukraine and how this contributes to a lack of democracy, a receding in democracy in the world. An autocracy would take autocracy was really the way to say that, would be taking over a democracy by force. Because the Ukraine is a democratic nation of more than 40 million people with a pro-Western president who in 2019 won 73% of the vote in the election's final round. So that victory and the polls show that most Ukrainians want to live in a country that is more like Europe and the U.S., not like Russia, not an autocracy. But Putin wants the Ukraine. Putin believes that he should have the Ukraine, and that's how some of this positioning began, aggressively, right? And what now happens with these sanctions, and what is the blowback, one can only imagine. You respond to these scenarios, but is it enough? And I say it won't be enough in the end. The Ukraine falls to the hands of the Russians, and a lot certainly is lost there, not to mention all the people who wanted to live in a free society. Think about that and how lucky so many of you are listening to this show. Thanks for listening to this hour. Remember, you can always hit me up day or night, KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.